Asensio. Si lo de Cristiano ha sido
a week ago. From the corner, and he's buried again.
Get it again. Sergio Ramos. Stadio. Beautiful.
Uomo di destra la guardia. Bravo, Tano.
It's been an incredibly long time, and I feel like I say this way too often, but I will say again, we apologize. All of us are just super busy with school, hammering it out, loads of midterms and assignments and projects and all that fun stuff that we have to do. But of course, we're back. Last time we spoke, it was actually the Sevilla match, just before the Sevilla match, which all of us got wrong in our predictions, which was pretty upsetting, but that's okay. moving on to... I was going to say brighter things, but it hasn't really been that bright. But anyways, before we get into everything, I'll let these fine gentlemen introduce themselves. Or Anthony, you guys can go ahead.
Hello, I'm Christopher. My Twitter handle is @K_MC06. Follow me for Lucas Vasquez propaganda and the recently endorsed Jose Callahan propaganda.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Jose Callahan, that's a...
Oh, I interesting.
Hassan.
We're back, Hassan, bitches. We're back. At the Hassan, if you want to follow me on Twitter, please do.
And finally, Anthony Shopa AJ.
What's going on? I'm Anthony. I'm the large pineapple on Twitter. You can find me at Shopa AJ, SHOPAAJ. But yeah, back to Madrid.
Back to Madrid. Okay, obviously, because it's been, I believe, about a month, really. It's been quite a few weeks since we've done a podcast. We're going to skip a lot of the game-by-game analysis because it's not really a lot of great things to analyze as it is. And we're going to jump into the one thing that has come from all this poor form, and that is the possibility of Julian Lopetegui being sacked by Florentino Perez and Real Madrid, and there being a replacement. So let's break this up into two parts. First, we shall tackle whether Julian should be sacked, and then in the hypothetical alternate universe in which he is, who would we replace him with? But first, should he be sacked, boys? What do you think?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's stupid. If you compare it to when Benitez was in charge, he got all the way up until, was it around January, I think?
January 6th,
I believe.
And he was way, way, way worse. I mean, Lopetegui didn't get smashed by Atletico like Benitez did. The team's playing somewhat better than what they were under Benitez. It's just that the signs obviously are that it's an absolute premature decision. I think it's stupid. Do you think that we're discussing this at this point?
Yeah, I agree with most of that. I put it up on Twitter last night. We're 3 points worse off under Lopetegui after 9 games than we were under Zidane after 9 games. Let's see out a season. I think Lopetegui's been extremely unlucky this month, and it's October. We can't be talking about sacking a manager in October.
Yeah, I agree.
So really, it's not as... Sorry, Anthony. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
I was pretty much just going to say how I agree with them. And honestly, it's kind of nice. I saw a couple of articles this past week about how they're wondering what the problem even is in Madrid. Is it injuries? Is it Lopetegui's system? Or is it really just like this bad luck? Because as we can tell, we lost Ronaldo, the best player on the planet. And we have Mariano as the only attacker that came in to really fill in for the 50 goals or whatever some odd goals that Ronaldo has every year. So Lopetegui had a tall order, and for everything that's going wrong, I feel like is going wrong against Lopetegui, so you can't really count him out this early. But the Clasico on Sunday should really be what defines how his Real Madrid career is going to go.
We are all appreciative of our mature mindset, I guess, or at least I am, that we're not just throwing Lopetegui under the bus and saying, well, he has to be the sole person responsible for everything. Because, of course, there are other variables and factors that come into play with how the season has gone so far. Now, without getting way too into every little nitty-gritty detail, if each one of you could pick one thing
that Lopetegui should either change or implement, or if Lopetegui, or if you were Lopetegui, what is the one thing that you would do, whether it's from a personnel point of view, a tactical point of view, however you see fit?
I definitely tell him to stop pushing the defensive line so high. That's causing us a lot of problems. I'd say that's probably my biggest gripe if I had to pick one. I think the defensive line is just, it's way too high at times. And against Levante, for example, it just got shredded and shredded and shredded. So I think that definitely needs changing.
Madrid's style has been, you know, playing with the wing backs, of course, especially if you haven't seen Real Madrid play maybe 10 or 15 years ago and you're just watching now, or you're just into it now, that's perfectly fine. It's not like we know every little thing about the club. Christopher probably does because he's like a football historian. But that's just the way Real Madrid's been, at least for the last 5 years or so, and more, definitely. But just focusing on this little window that we're all a huge part of, that's always been a thing. So do you think that should change completely, or are you just saying to limit that? Because that whole idea of the Real Madrid left and right back has always been to fly forward and help support the attack.
No, I think the fullbacks are fine. I think leaving the fullbacks to attack when they want, obviously in moments where it's relevant for them to do that, that's absolutely fine. But I think Sergio Ramos galloping up the pitch for just, you know, the absolute banter at times, it seems, is just, it's going to become a problem, because the amount of times he's been caught out of position and left Ferran to scrap for all against about a good two or three players, It's not something that you can continue to do through a season, especially against, you know, sides who are going to be able to punish that even worse than what Levante did, for example. So Sevilla, they absolutely rinsed us because we were so
more of an individual problem rather than, it's kind of more of an individual problem than a Lopetegui system.
But maybe he needs to put his foot down. I know that's going to be hard against the guy that's the captain of the team, and he probably beat the shit out of you if you tried. But you know, at the end of the day, he needs to be the manager and put his foot down and say, yeah, you know, you need to be a bit more disciplined in yourself and stop galloping up the pitches if you're the number nine, because you're just not.
Well, here's my argument for that. Sergio Ramos is our third leading goal scorer right now for the club.
Yeah, he might be, but what else have we got right now? Plus, there's a few.
Most of those have been penalties. Yeah, I was about to say, most
penalties in there. Penalties. There is that to consider as well. So the context in there is obviously there's a few penalties and set pieces. But if you score from like open play, then I'd be like, yeah, you're not fair enough. But there's nothing wrong with him doing it if we're in search of a late goal. I'm not saying to don't, you know, stop it altogether. But it's becoming a very frequent thing. I don't know if you guys feel it is, but I feel like it's happening way too frequently for my
last question. Okay. On your point about the defense flying forward too much, what, in your opinion, is there much of a difference compared to how this defense moves forward up the pitch in comparison to how Zidane's Real Madrid went forward up the pitch?
It depends on what point of Zidane's like tenure you're looking at. If you look at like the first, you know, season, they were fairly solid at the back all the way through, that you didn't really get caught out as such. Obviously, in this last season, that was just, I don't even know what to say about that one, to be honest. There's not many words that I can describe that last season, but that's when the frailties were exposed. But in the first season, they were conservative when they did it. They did it at the right times. Whereas I don't feel under Lopetegui they're doing it at the right time. I feel like they're just flying up because they've got no other options right now, which builds into different issues altogether. But I think it does differ a little bit. Yeah.
Anthony, what would you say is your one change that you would like to see implemented?
I think Lopetegui needs to do a little bit more rotation, honestly, with some of our players. The midfield, he's been rotating, I think, pretty solidly. I don't agree with all of his choices, like to move Toni Kroos back into a more Casemiro position. He is not Casemiro, as he's come out and said. So I know Toni Kroos and Lopetegui aren't really seeing eye to eye on the midfield rotation, but I think defensively, Ramos has played almost every single minute of every game so far. And we are really lacking defensively. So to not see Vallejo in more, or Reguilon in more, or Nacho in more is just really weird to me, especially when we have Marcelo coming back from injury and immediately being tossed right back into the starting lineup and then obviously getting hurt again in this past game. So I just think that even defensively and strike-wise, Benzema playing all those minutes, we just need to see different players in those positions getting opportunities, since it hasn't been working as well, obviously, with the past five results.
It would be great, of course, if there was a healthy rotation, much like we saw, I guess, maybe in that first or second season at Real Madrid, obviously, when Zidane was there. You kind of had that A-team, B-team feeling. But that was after a good amount of time with the club. Do you think, and any of you can answer this, do you think maybe we are even lacking a continuity? Like, on paper, yes, we know what our starting 11 is, but our starting 11 is it necessarily, like, our strongest 11, or is it just the biggest names making that starting 11? And does Julian Lopetegui even know, like, which players actually work the best together? Not from past tapes or matches that he's watched, but actually what he sees in-game now in this season, you know, minus the Ronaldo and all of that other jazz.
I think he's still kind of figuring out who his best ones are. I mean, I know Chris was probably going to get an erection when I say this, but, like, Vasquez playing so well in the last game was, like, where has he been for the most of the season? That's the first time I've seen him really get a full 90 in the last few months. I think, what is it? Not, how many games has he played the full 90? Is it, like, 2-3 games? So it's not a lot. Is it five?
I've been kind of keeping track of when he starts, and from what I remember, that's the second time he started this season. And the first time was against
itself.
The first time was against Levante.
Look it up. Yeah, I'll just come back to it.
But, like, I think in the last 3 years, he's played the most key passes, or I think he's registered the most assists. I'm not sure if I've got that one right. It's one of the two.
Yeah,
I remember seeing it somewhere.
He's second to James Rodriguez for assists since he arrived.
So why on earth isn't he playing more? It's like we've got players like Benzema who are just literally dragging themselves across the floor and have been utterly trash. Yeah, you know, you have Vasquez who's perfectly capable of creating havoc when he comes on, and he's not getting a sniff. It's just like, what on earth? I think Lopetegui's still figuring it out, and it's not fair to not give him the chance to figure it out.
So he's started two games in the Champions League. He started one in La Liga, which was against Levante, and he's come off the bench for seven times. And he's at 193 minutes for in La Liga and 148 in the Champions League. So he's really not playing a lot of minutes at all. And I pointed out there recently that his role is different than how Zidane used him, in the sense that I think he's more of a clog up the wings and hold on to the lead option rather than an attacking option.
Which is foolish because he's so good attacking wise as well. Like, he can cause a lot of problems. But didn't he play the last game essentially as a right wing back?
He did, yeah. Basically.
And it was outrageous. It was pretty outrageous.
I'm not trying to make a meal of this situation, but just hear me out for like 30 seconds here. At the World Cup, right, when Julian Lopetegui is the manager of the Spanish national team, Christopher, of course, you'll know this, but I'm pretty sure Lucas Vasquez was a part of that squad many times leading up to
the
World Cup. Now, Lopetegui is obviously the manager of Real Madrid, and we have that other guy. I genuinely forgot his name. Who is the manager of the Spanish national team? Luis Enrique. That's who it is.
Oh, I thought we were just being mean because he's a Barca guy.
No, I genuinely was drawing. Like, anyway, like I'm trying to say, now Lucas Vasquez isn't a part of the Spanish national team. I would think that Lopetegui would have an inkling more of affinity for Lucas Vasquez, but clearly he hasn't, because it seems like he hasn't played more than 400 minutes of football this season. So, did Vasquez have a drop in form somewhere, or is stuff just kind of weird? I don't know. I'm just saying. It just seemed a little odd to me. Like, he's part of the Spanish national team at a World Cup. Now he doesn't even make the team, and now he has very few minutes at Real Madrid.
But yeah, it is strange. It's very strange.
I'm not going to pretend like he's played fabulously, but he's, you know, he has dropped in form, so to speak, but it's mainly because he's just not playing enough to put his stamp on a game.
Yeah, match sharpness is going to be a little bit sort of impacted by that, of course, I think, as well.
It's not even match sharpness. It's more he's playing like 15 minutes at the end of every game. Like, there's just no... there's no room for him to make a difference in that sort of time span. He's a much better... I don't think the stats will back it up, but I've always felt that he's much better starting a game for Madrid than he has been coming off the bench. Now, I know the stats will say that he's very good off the bench as well, but I've always felt like he needs more than 15 minutes every game to make an impact.
I agree. Hopefully we see more of Lucas on, because he is, like, he's a neat player to watch, because I think, like, he may not be the most technically sound player. Well, not may not. He isn't on Real Madrid, but the one thing you know you're always going to get is a load of heart. I think, to me at least, it just means a lot when you know somebody's going to go out there and just, like, freaking bust his ass for 90 minutes.
Yeah, he's industrious as anything. He's a workhorse, essentially.
Anyway, Christopher, your point. So, Hassan had his change that he would make. Anthony has his. What's yours?
Well, mine was set pieces. I felt like up until the Levante game, we were very kind of meager. We left a lot to be desired from set pieces. We've not taken full advantage of them. I'm kind of looking at the stats now and they're beginning to match up with the two seasons beforehand, but I think that's because we had so many chances in the last two games from set pieces, in terms of Levante just seemed to give us a free run at them, and so did Piezen in the Champions League. But so I'd like to see that continue in that sense. That'd be my thing to fix.
I think the team peaked in the 16-17 season when it came to set pieces.
Would it? I thought so too, but I was looking at winners.
Oh my god!
Yeah, but yeah, corner goals. Oh my word, it was outrageous that season. Jesus.
I was looking at last season, and we scored 14 goals from corners, which is still a lot. Like,
that's the XG didn't feel like that much.
Yeah, but the XG. This is the funny thing. The XG was 10 goals, so we overperformed by 4 goals from corners alone.
Pretty impressive.
It's very impressive.
I'm just going to preface this point. I swear to God, Anthony and Hassan, I don't want to hear anything about Paul Pogba. So if you
say promises.
I swear to God, I'm just going to, like, literally wipe the whole part of whatever you say out of this podcast. But I'm just going to say something. I find it a little funny how we get so much heat for this bad start to the season, but Manchester United has had so many poor starts this season after Ferguson left, and they just have poor seasons in general. But I just think, like, not only have our fans been absolutely spoiled by Real Madrid, but I think even all the pundits and journalists and analysts and whatever have just been way too spoiled by our club. That is, like, people are acting like this place is in absolute turmoil, like, the whole house is on fire.
It's not as bad as Man United, that's for sure. I mean, having obviously been to a couple of games there, the atmosphere is toxic. It's toxic in that stadium at times. Especially against Valencia, it was pathetic. Like, you could just feel the absolute sort of animosity in the air. It's horrible.
I
was thinking about this yesterday. I've been reading a lot about, like, the reaction from Madrid's poor run of form. And I've discovered, like, there's just these journalists are claiming that they have a kind of an insight into the club, that they have an in. But the issue is that each journalist you read who claims to have an in also projects, like, writes a different character for Florentino Perez. So one of them will be saying, you know, Florentino Perez has lost it. One of them was saying he's ruthlessly waiting to sack Lopetegui, never wanted him in the first place. And then you have the fans who have a completely different complexion as well. So it's like, who do you
believe? I'd love to see who said that he didn't want him in the first place. Surely he would not have gone to the hassle of getting him out of the Spanish national setup if he didn't want him in the first place.
I've also seen a lot of... Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
It annoys me too. I don't understand. The in that they feel like they have, they take a little too much from it. I think they run with it a little too much. But I can't speak because I don't have that sort of insight. So.
Yeah, like I've also seen stuff, you know, on Twitter and whatever, and like news outlets saying things like, "Well, Florentino Perez hasn't, you know, come out and spoken out against the shit essentially that Julian Lopetegui's been getting from people, and because he hasn't come out and defended him publicly, therefore that means that he will be sacked in the near future." Like,
But even if
there's a flip side to that, though, there is a flip side to that.
Yeah.
If you think about when Benitez in the same scenario, he came out, he's like, yeah, he gave him the vote of confidence, which is also known as the kiss of death in this scenario. If you get that from Perez, you know you're essentially done. You're not getting backed in. You're not getting positive change. Yeah. You're getting sent out the door at the next opportunity.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. When Perez comes out and supports you, you have like a minimum 4 games to turn around before he's kicking you out the door.
Yeah, basically. Basically, it's exactly what that means.
Do any
so, you know, it's probably not a bad thing that he's not been backed by him yet.
Sorry, do any of us think that, like, of course, we all have our opinion that Julian Lopetegui shouldn't be sacked yet, and he should still be given the opportunity. But Clásico is coming up. It's a very big game, of course. Do any of us think or are leaning towards the fact that if that game goes wrong, that could be it for him?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think I said it in the group chat. It's like the sacking feels inevitable at this point, just to the next big slip-up. And if they go into the new camp and get absolutely slaughtered on Sunday, then, yeah, you can guarantee they'd be giving him the cardboard box and sending him out to the parking lot.
Just sacking him, really. Like, who is there to pick from?
There isn't really any options at all.
No. It's either going to be Solari or Guti, I think, will be the two to come in. But just on the kind of sacking point, although I don't agree with the idea that we should be sacking him, I feel like as soon as we went down 2-0 to Levante, he was gone. And at this point, I'd have preferred that we had just sacked him then and there, because now, you know, he's won this game against Vitória. If he wins, I'm not optimistic about our chances in El Clásico, but if he wins the Clásico, he's now in a position where the board can't really sack him because he's looking like he's going to turn it around. But he's well aware that the board also didn't want him a week ago. So I feel like if we're going to sack him, we should have sacked him last week, because we're now putting ourselves in a position where we're going to have to backtrack on it. And that's just it's just a dicey place to be in.
If any of you are curious, I actually wrote an article on 3 reasons why Real Madrid season has been going to shit. So you should check it out.
Shameless plug. There, shameless plug.
Too disgusted with yourself. What's next? EP out soon.
Oh my god. Anyways, I think we've all discussed the one thing. I have nothing to contribute except for my shameless plug. You three have all discussed one thing that you'd like Julian to change, or if you were him that you could change. I think we can move on to the next topic. Anthony, want to talk about firepower in the final third. So since you haven't spoken in so long as it is, I'll let you lead the conversation.
Well, once they get on a roll, I just kind of let them do their thing. I don't want to keep interrupting. Chris and Hassan usually get in the flow and they go back and forth. And if you interrupt it, you're pretty much just looking like an asshole. But no, the goals, I mean, early on in the season, there were questions about Lopi's system. And then we saw how often it pays off. I mean, we had Karim Benzema scoring on all cylinders. We had Gareth Bale doing his thing, cutting in from the right and hammering those shots. And then a couple games later, it all just kind of went to shit. And we can't say that, oh, we played a better opposition, that's why we weren't able to get the goals. Because some of these names are names that Madrid has been handling for, like, almost a century, I want to say, half of these names. Because Real Madrid has been so dominant for that long. But when Gareth Bale and Karim Benzema stop scoring, and they keep getting all these opportunities to score, and all the playing time, and we don't make any changes, it just really makes everyone miss that guy from Portugal that used to play for our team that I'm having a hard time remembering his name.
I saw him last night.
How's he looking? Does he look healthy? Is he happy without us?
I think he's okay. I think he's okay.
Bastard.
I think this is a good point to actually go into. I think most of us can agree is why we don't want Lopetegui sacked is because Madrid's main issue at the moment is personnel, in the sense that we're creating a lot of chances, but no one's there to score them.
And kind of like that typical Spanish problem of we dominate in shots, we dominate in possession, but at the end of the day, if you don't get in the back of the net, you don't win the game.
Yeah, find the number 9. I'm pretty certain every person, every Madrid fan has their own opinion as to why we did not sign a striker over the summer. I have my own opinions, but I think it's beside the point now. I think the clear problem in Madrid at the moment is not the manager. It's the fact that we don't have a goal-scoring number nine.
Well, yeah. And in our last nine league games this season, Real Madrid has scored just 13 goals. I think I read somewhere, it's something like, bar yesterday's game, so before yesterday's game, I think it was like over four games we registered something stupid, like 140 shots or something. I don't know what it was. I could be wrong. Not shots on target, just shots. But the fact that like the scoring's just been so like, it's just like an empty well. It's scary, to say the least.
Well, just the Champions League game that we blew, the early goal, we had like, 23 shots in total, but only like 8 of them were on target and none of them ended up in being a goal against a random Russian side, in my opinion. Like, there's got to be some answers there for Lopez.
Don't be talking about Russians like that. It might not play out well for you.
Hey, the Russians know how I feel about them. And
basically have to bleep out this whole part about you talking about Russia. Podcast is supposed to be apolitical. Thank you very much, Anthony.
The irony that Anthony's talking shit about the Russians when he's like a pineapple on Twitter. He's going to be the easiest person out of the lot of us to track.
Track me.
But yeah, no, I've got some numbers here as well for you, just to further back these points up. So up until the Levante game, we had just one goal in 119 shots. 119 shots, there's just one goal. It's a pretty damning start.
No offense, but I got pretty sick of tired of scrolling through the flipping feed of Real Madrid on Twitter and Instagram and seeing Golazo, Golazo everywhere and like all the players freaking jumping around and celebrating for scoring screamers in practice, in training sessions. And then when it comes time to be on the pitch, they're just like over there doing God knows what. I'm like, what the hell are you celebrating about for in your practice? Do the damn thing on the field, man.
Yeah, that's all I can think of is, have you ever seen the movie Space Jam?
Yes.
Yes.
It's like the monsters where they drink their bottle and just sucks all their skills away from the pros. That's literally what's happened.
I was so pissed. I'm just like looking at it. Everyone's having a jolly old good time. And like I'm over here doing my head in, like trying to figure out what the hell's going on with this team.
Yeah, I seen that too. Like Sergio Ramos banging in four free kicks in a row from the top corner and then he steps up to take one and
sends it to Rose Ed.
Seriously. Yeah.
It was him and wasn't Asensio. No, Ceballos, Danny Ceballos. They're over there doing like a little competition amongst one another. Like first of all, one of you is a midfielder and the other is a defender. Only one of you should be taking that shot. I'm pretty sure the guy whose name is Sergio Ramos.
Shout out to Benzema fans because they've been watching that sort of thing. He's like the main culprit. Like every training video I see is Benzema scoring an absolute banger in training. So like last 2 years, Benzema fans have been watching it thinking he's going to do it this time and then he doesn't.
Saying that, it was funny how we were all like trashing Benzema on the group chat and then all of a sudden he goes and scores the first goal against Victoria Pleasant the other day. Literally, I'm pretty sure it was me and Sunil who said, we're like, well, watch Benzema score tonight first, he'll open the scoring. And literally, lo and behold, it's exactly what happened.
Well, I've never heard you say anything positive about Benzema like that.
Because there's nothing
positive. And we have it on record.
There's nothing positive to bloody say.
At the beginning of the season, I said he'd have a 30-plus goal season. So my ass is on the line for that season.
I'm coming to your head at the end of the season because it's not going to happen. I'm going to fly to Canada and personally bring your head back through customs.
He's going to score 10 against Rio.
Let me know when you arrive at the airport. I live like 10 minutes away, so I'll pick you up.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, goals have been an issue, obviously. As you've heard from the stats you've thrown out there in the last 5 minutes or so, lots of shots, but the conversion rate has been very poor, like bleak, literally nothing. Like you can't see it, even with x-ray glasses. I don't know how many other ways I can put this to you, but it's been bad. But what is the solution to it?
I think there's an element of luck in there as well, to be fair. I mean, I think we've hit the woodwork 11 times in 13 games this season or something along those lines.
I want to know what the solution is, but no one can say sign a new player, because it's not January yet, so don't get ahead of yourself.
No, I just think, you know, unless Benzema suddenly now starts scoring goal after goal, which, let's be frank, probably isn't going to happen.
Believe.
Give Mariano a go out. Get Vasquez on the field to start creating more chances. Alternate it round. Think of something else, because obviously the way it's going now isn't where... Even draft Bale into the middle of the pitch if you have to. Put him as a striker if you've really got to do it. Because whatever that is going on at the top right now isn't working. I think the other thing is it's too fluid in attack sometimes, and people are crisscrossing over each other, and there never seems to be someone in the box at times, because they're all sort of interchanging somewhere in the final third in midfield. It's just, I'm all for the fluidity, but sometimes you just got to stick to the basics and have a man in the box who's capable of putting it away.
I agree with that, but I think the problem is, like you said, there just really is no man in the box, because, like, Gareth Bale, at least from what I think, he always wants to be in that 20-ish yard zone where he's, like, off to one side and then he can cut in and take his shot. And, like, yeah, he does get in the box and he scores headers, but more often than not, that's not really his playing style. And Karim Benzema, apart from yesterday's header, which was pretty freaking neat, I believe is assisted by Lucas Vasquez as well. Like, he doesn't have that aerial dominance, so it's just like, it's frustrating to see the ball just get pinged around the opponent's box, like, time after time. It's like, nobody's willing to take a shot.
Well, honestly, all you can really say right now, since it's not the transfer window, is the typical shooting slump, where it's, you got to shoot your way out of it until you actually start seeing the goals. That's all an optimistic fan can really say until January hits.
I think that's pretty much what we've been doing, though. We're just shooting and shooting and shooting. It's
but not the shots the don't say that, do they? I mean, what didn't we just say? We had like 116 shots or something like that in the last five games, or something crazy like that.
Yeah, 103. Yeah, it's not. And that's like a conversion rate of 0.8.
Yeah, but 103 shots is not a lot.
I think it's quite high up.
But a team, but with a team that's in the goal drought, we're suffering currently. It's not a huge. I'd like to see it go up a bit, but what I'd say is, and kind of building on the set piece part, is kind of to start maximizing our goal scoring chances, in the sense that when we get corners and set pieces, and that we need to start improving them, putting ourselves in a position where we're going to score from them, rather than just
that's definitely that like we do. But I think it's not the fact we're not creating enough chances. I think it's where the chances are being created. It's like they never seem to be in the box, like. At all, they all seem to be like, you know, on the edge of the D or on the left hand or the right hand side. It's never like dead in the penalty area.
Yeah, and this is kind of why
missing a lot.
This is why I say, really, really, I think this scoring from set pieces is definitely a way out of this.
100%. Yeah.
And what was going to say? That's with the other thing. We are the most foul team per 90 in La Liga at the moment. So it's not like we're being starved of set pieces either.
That's unbelievable.
That's actually an interesting stat.
And it's not even like the average. I've looked over the last three seasons. The average is 17, which is currently what we're averaging this season after 9 games.
Well, damn. Something.
This is just depressing now. It's just really upsetting to talk about.
Stop it. You're going to make Anthony cry.
Sitting there just like thinking, God, why did I pick this team?
Oh, I'll never think that.
Did anyone forget me? Has everyone forgotten what happened like a couple of months ago?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just take me back. Take me back, God damn it.
Take me back 3 years ago. Take me back on that incredible run again.
We don't need to go 3 years ago, just like 6 months ago. 5 months ago, yeah.
Honestly, just add those Ronaldo. Two players back. Yeah, add those two players back. Add Ronaldo and give us Zidane back, and we're cool again.
Cut his loan spell short. Recall him.
Okay, let's try and get away from this pessimism, because I think some of you are going to be crying. And Christopher, sorry, what was your point of the podcast?
Set pieces. I'm not letting it go. I definitely think we should be doing better from them. I know we're beginning to improve, but I'd like to see us improve much quicker.
Don't worry, Isco's back.
Isco is back. I like how you say Isco, not
Am I saying it wrong? Am I saying it with an... All right, well, I'm not going to say it.
I think that's how the British people say it, isn't it? Hassan, how do you say it?
East Coast.
Get the fuck. You really...
Don't change for us. Don't change, Anthony. You add the flavor to the podcast.
Say how you properly say it.
We're going to need a Spaniard on here to put us right.
He's just going to hate us. He's going to be mad that we're butchering every single word.
Honestly, he's going to be like, you silly North Americans and United Kingdom people.
United Kingdom people, Jesus. No.
I didn't want to call you British. I don't know what the right term is, okay? There's a lot of feud going on between England and Ireland, and I don't want to piss off the Irish people because I love them. They're absolutely very nice people. So I don't want to cause a rift in the podcast. Like I said, apolitical, boys. Apolitical. Anyways.
I thought of something else as well. Get Federico Valverde some more minutes, please.
Flip it out. Did you guys see that play? Oh, baby, that was sweet. That is sweeter very good. Than apple pie. Honestly, I was so... Wow. I'll just shut up. That was amazing.
Kids well, can I throw another name out there?
Yeah, go sure. for it.
What's going on with Vinicius Jr.? We see him just absolutely killing it for Madrid B. You saw that free kick, right?
Yeah, paso. Did you guys hear he's not eligible for the Clásico?
Yeah, he got a red card.
Yeah, because he got a red card.
And honestly, the softest second yellow I've ever seen for diving also, which was just, I don't know. Just to give a red card off of a dive is ridiculous to me.
You
watched the game.
Favors.
I watched that game, and... He was being fouled the entire match, and the referee was just booking the Celta Vigo B players, and then another player would foul him, and then he'd get booked, and they were just rotationally fouling him constantly, and then he died. They were basically taking turns to take out, just to bring him down. And then he eventually just got sick of it and complained to the referee that he was being soft, and the referee sent him off for it.
Absolutely.
Did anyone see how he like brushed the badge as he took it off? That just it threw me back to when Ronaldo got that red against Cordoba and rubbed off the club or cop badge.
Yeah. He's not going to be liked in Vigo anyway. The Celta Vigo, the fans there really didn't like him at all. Especially after he scored that free kick, and he flashed a jersey towards them, almost kind of like respect me. It was a brilliant moment.
Damn. I like that attitude.
I was gonna say something, I forgot. Oh yeah, there's somebody who listens to this podcast, and he'll know who he is. But what do you guys think of that whole Zlatan Ibrahimovic move? Because I don't know if I said it here, but I know I said it to him. But I did say. Zlatan Ibrahimovic for Real Madrid would actually be a pretty neat idea.
I'll take that.
It could happen for January.
100%
I'll take that all day.
Yeah, 100%.
Finally, guys, I'm learning. I'm good. The stuff
bring
I'll say...
Bring back Adebayor.
Oh, my.
Jesus. Might as well freaking bring back Gravesen if you want to do that.
Yeah, bring back
Adebayor. What's
Huntelaar
doing?
He's
the
perfect...
Is he
I don't have a clue where he is, but we could get him.
Why don't we
just... Huntelaar was actually good.
Who's that guy?
That's what I'm saying. Adebayor has an underrated legacy at Real Madrid.
Hassan, who liked your birthday tweet?
Oh, Michael Salgado, the man.
Should get him back too.
Hell
yeah, we should.
You can
some
tell him to put some boots on.
Well.
To lace them up. Last point, and then we'll close out this podcast. So as soon as Cristiano Ronaldo left to Juventus way back in, I don't know why I'm saying way back, only a few months ago. Anyway, when he left in the summer, Marcelo made a post on Instagram, and he said in Portuguese, loose translation, see you soon, my friend. And everyone was like, oh damn, oh snap, shit's going down, he's about to go to Juventus. Obviously it didn't happen, he's still here, but rumors have picked up again that Marcelo might go, but I'll let you guys spill the tea because Marcelo said no. What do you guys think of that?
He's going nowhere. It's not happening. End of story. Shut the book.
I don't even think it's a good story, honestly.
That's it. It's fine.
Yeah,
end of segment.
Yeah, the whole Marcelo thing, he's come out said multiple times, I'm a Madridista through and through. Like, I'm one of the biggest Madrid fans. I grew up being a Madrid fan. If you could ever picture a fan playing on the field, that's what I'm experiencing now. Like, how he describes his career is as a dream to him. So I don't know why he would just leave the club that he's loved, that he's been at for so long. It doesn't really add up to me, but hey, money talks.
The dude is genuinely on the verge of tears every time he scores a goal for Madrid. Have you ever noticed that? He looks like he's going to cry.
Well, every time he scores, also, he flashes the badge and he, like, holds it up like it's almost sewed onto his chest.
Yeah, oh no, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Tattoo over his heart of the Real Madrid crest. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he probably will do it when he retires.
I'm sure he has it tattooed somewhere on his chest.
I feel like he's going to be asked to be buried inside the Bernabeu.
Oh, I'd be down for that.
We've had this conversation already, haven't we?
Yeah, let's not have this conversation again. Let's just, yeah. But I feel like he's going to be one of those people, like CS, who just, like, when he knows his time's up, he'll just want to play. Like, he'll want to continue playing, but he'll never want to have to face Real Madrid again. He's just, like, that kind of guy.
Yeah, well, no, I think he'd go back to Brazil, or didn't he even play? He did play at Brazil. I think he'd go back there if that's what he was going to do. But I can't see him leaving. The beauty of it is I think he'd take anything that the club give him if it meant staying in Madrid.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, the players that have left so far are kind of in their 30s. And let's be honest, we shaft players when they enter their 30s, no matter who they are.
Shaft is
They had ambition to play more. They didn't think their career was over. They didn't want to change the role, basically. I don't think Marcelo's that type of player. Modric has said that he's not that type of player either.
Modric is gonna go next season. I genuinely think Modric is gonna go next season. I believe it.
I say that from, like, one of the podcasts I've heard, but supposedly he said in the past that he wouldn't mind taking on, like, a mentor or role towards the end of his career.
Well, I hope he does, because I would rather he didn't go, but I can't see him going.
I feel like we're going to see a lot of our players transition into, like, managerial roles. Like, obviously start off small, but, like, just work.
Well, that's what we're doing right now. Raul's in charge of under 15s.
I mean, like, our players that are currently playing as well. Like, I know Raul and all those guys are doing stuff.
Yeah, Ramos will definitely do it. I can see him doing it.
It depends on, like, imagine Ramos being a manager. Oh, my God. He'd be managing from the freaking box every game because his ass would be, like, over there just, like, destroying referees. He's going to be, like, he's still going to kick your ass.
I feel like it's the whole Diego Simeone effect also, kind of like with Ramos. They both have that same mentality.
Like that sweater kind of thing?
I see. Yeah. I feel that, like, intimidation factor.
Yeah, just like that all-black suit every time. Like, it's always a funeral.
Yeah, dress for a funeral.
Pray for that team's discipline record.
You see him, you take his legs.
Yeah, I was about to say, rational, we don't know that word.
Anyway, I think the last 5 minutes of this podcast was just a whole bunch of banter, which we, of course, love. But I think people in the United Kingdom would like to go to sleep.
That
now.
Was a terrible British accent. Don't do that.
Oh, my God. Flip in time. And you're like, Mushak, when are you going to do the British accent? And then I do it. And then you're like, that's terrible.
I thought you'd try.
Not that bad.
My God.
I don't think it's that bad.
Thank you, Christopher. At least the Irishman agrees with me. This is why I rate people in Ireland. They're just so genuine. My British
racist.
Accent. My accent probably sounds like garbage, but Christopher is such a gent, and he won't say it. Class.
Yeah, no, that's because the English are a bit more brutal than the Irish in that regard. Just say what they think.
Yeah, that's true. You guys are savages. Anyway, I'm going to be a savage and just end this podcast right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate you listening to this podcast. We all appreciate it. Hopefully, we can get some feedback from you on Twitter. And we might even try squeezing in another one before the Clásico. But who knows? We'll see. Leave us your comments and whatever you think on Twitter or Facebook. Let us know what you'd like us to talk about, or if you have any questions, we'll take them up and we'll answer them in the next podcast. Anyway, we hope you all enjoyed the Clásico. Oh, quickly, predictions. Hassan, Christopher, Anthony, go. What's your score prediction for Classico?
I don't know why. I've got a feeling it's going to be a really drab draw.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's mine.
3-1 Madrid.
Score. Anyone going to score, Hassan?
3-1 Madrid.
Oh, yeah. 3-1 Madrid. Okay,
okay, so Christopher 1-1. And Anthony are 3-1 Madrid, and Hassan says a draw at what scoreline?
1-1.
1-1. Okay, I don't know. I just hope we win. That's all that matters to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoy the Classico. Hope you have a great rest of your day, or whatever it is you're doing. And as always, Hello Madrid.